Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on 790 The Ticket. Thanks to everybody for tuning on in. Hope everybody's doing good out there. All of our essential workers heading to work. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to all our medical workers who listen to the show. Good luck with another tough day ahead, I'm sure. Good luck to all the teachers who are waking up, getting ready to do that digital learning. I'll tell you what, Leroy, let me tell you something. So yesterday, my wife, you know, I've been helping her out. We've been doing this, some digital teaching. And, you know, my wife, you know, she happens to have a... Well, I'm helping her out. You know, she's got What?
You know. My kid. I don't want you teaching him.
I'm not doing the teaching. What I'm doing is I'm doing the videotaping. I'm doing the editing. So if she's got to do, like a storybook, right? She's like, well, why don't I just, you know, have you videotape the screen? I'm like, have you ever seen a good video of somebody videotaping a computer screen? It looks like garbage. And so, you know, I've become a little bit of an overplayer. I'm like, give me the screenshots. I'll make it all nice and we'll put it up on a YouTube page. It'll look magnifique. It'll look fantastic.
Oh, you know? So you're an IT guy now?
Yeah. Well, no. I think of myself more as like a visual, audio visual. You know, like trying to, you know, I'll mic her up. I'll get her some good audio quality. All that type of stuff. And you know, yesterday, you know, it's been fun from here on out. We've been doing some fun lessons. We get to learn about Bear in a Tree. And, you know, and Pete the Cat and all that type of stuff. You know, fun lessons. You know, there's props. I've been very much enjoying having to do these videos. But yesterday it was basically like, oh, I got to read a test, you know, because some kids need the extra oomph when it comes to getting a test or whatnot. You know, get the follow through when you're going through on it. Man, listening to a math test is boring. Woo! Can't spice that up, Leroy.
No, you can't.
I can give you all the special effects you want. Man, that was boring. I couldn't do a thing for it. I was just like, call me when this is over.
So how long did she do it? Because I'm telling you, my daughter's not in front of the computer very long.
It's in and out. Like, she's basically it feels like my wife is on the phone all day with parents, giving them basically help as they need it. Because a lot of what my wife does, she's the one who gives like the kids who need a little extra. She's kind of more on hands-on with them. So she's basically kind of on the phone basically as much as she can. If a parent needs a visual meeting, they can, you know, dial her up and talk to her that way. So she's kind of on it. It feels like she's like nonstop from like 9 o'clock till 3. She's basically on the phone or in a meeting. Usually there'll be like some school meetings where everyone's got to chime in. And then we got our daughter who's also doing learning as well. My daughter's like you though. She's got most of the day free. It feels like she bangs all that stuff out first thing in the morning and then she's pretty much free to do anything she wants. Basically, you know, we'll give her some reading time because I don't want them in front of the TV all day, but I also don't want her going out fishing and catching herself with a hook.
Right. All right.
She was doing yesterday. Anyway, let's get some headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Text writes in, Leroy, Belichick trade away Garoppolo for pennies because of spite when others offered more. Boxed in.
That is not an accurate assessment.
Boxed in!
No, they didn't. Others did not offer more.
He wanted him to go somewhere where I think I remember reading this, that he wanted him to go somewhere where he knew he would succeed, and therefore making it look good that he didn't want him to go. Well done, Texter. Boxed in, Leroy.
That can't be... That can't be substantiated. No.
Oh.
You've been boxed
or, if I may, draw McGraw over there and this, Dan, you know, Day.
This, you know, it's tough. I think your connection's messed up because I don't know if it's your microphone or if it's just because you're from a box, son.
Woo! How about this? Or maybe Belichick likes Garoppolo and traded him to a situation that would give him an opportunity to win.
Nah.
It happens.
See, you're saying
it happens. That's no different than a team that releases a guy early instead of waiting until June 1st.
You are saying the same thing while saying different things. He may like Garoppolo, and he may be doing things to put him in a better situation. Him being in a better situation is a better look for Belichick, who wanted to prove to his boss, hey, I had it right the whole time with this guy, and you wanted to keep old man River.
Okay, knuckleheads. And this is you and all of your followers. You understand it's two different situations.
The posse is what you're talking about?
Yeah. We're making the assumption, okay, that the Dolphins have deemed that Josh Rosen can't play. That was never the case in New England. Okay. Bill Belichick would have preferred, and I'm just guessing here, he would have preferred for Garoppolo to be the coach in New England. Is that an accurate assessment?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
That's not what's happening here. That's not what we're talking about with Josh Rosen. What we're talking about with Josh Rosen is they don't think he can play. Otherwise, he would have played more. He would have rolled out the season because if they thought he had – here, let's think of it this way. If you look at a guy and you see enough good things that you're like, oh, we need to see this through. He might be our quarterback for the future. Right?
Yep.
Then you're going to give him the whole season to play. You're going to play him the whole season because you know he's going to need that action under his belt so that when you finally do build around him, he can then grow with the team. But if you take him out and not let him get those reps, then you've pretty much made your determination that, nah, he's not going to be our guy.
Hold on. Let me get this straight, though, okay? Just so we're clear. In this situation, if the Dolphins offer Jimmy Garoppolo a first-round pick rather than the second-round pick that the Niners gave up for him, all right?
Right.
You're telling me Belichick would trade him to the Dolphins and that bum Adam Gase, knowing that he was going to be destined to fail and then ultimately making Tom Brady look better and then ultimately making his opinion look worse?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that, look, sometimes coaches do players a solid. Sometimes teams do players a solid. Where, look, if you have two choices, we can trade you here and we might get a little bit more, or we can trade you there. We like you. You've been a team guy. We're going to trade you to a team that's a better fit or a team that you have a chance to win, or a team where you'll have a chance to play. That happens. But in the case of Josh Rosen, aren't we making the assumption that they have deemed that he will not be the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins? That's a different situation. Who cares? Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's put it in. Say if our man was not on the Spirit Quest. What's his name? McRoberts. McRoberts. Yeah. Say if somebody called, say, the Knicks, called and said, we want to trade for Josh McRoberts.
Right.
You wouldn't trade with them because you don't like them?
No. See, here's the difference, though.
You wouldn't trade McRoberts?
Of course, now
you just,
of course.
You just flat out.
Listen
lying.
To me. Hear me out. All right. I know you're eager to get out of the box. Hear me out. Of course I'd trade Josh McRoberts to the Knicks. They're idiots. That's who I expect to call for the Knicks.
What about the Spurs?
If the Spurs called, I would still do it. I don't have a blood feud with the Spurs. If the Celtics did it, Danny Ainge, you know, they love white guys. You know, maybe I'd be like, meh. Let's see if anybody else will go. But, the thing is, if you're in basketball, if you're Riley in that situation, you know he's just trying to clear out the muck. So he's going to do better after he clears out the muck, which in this case is Josh Muck Roberts.
So the Dolphins can't do that? Hey, we're just clearing space so we can
this is the
maybe
difference,
sign
though.
Two quarterbacks.
All right, this is why you're all nestled in your box like a little kitten I found off the street. Because Josh Rosen makes no money. Like he's not blocking anything with the Dolphins.
He's still making first round money.
But the Cardinals paid all that first round money. I think he's only making like $3 million with the Dolphins. He's making zero.
Okay.
Like you got to pay.
Okay, so
back.
You're saying so here. Let me, and I want to be clear because I'm confused here. One of the things that we have questioned is the Dolphins making bad decisions.
Yep.
Now, we have a new regime. We have a new coach. So we're going to give them an opportunity to make better decisions. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we have complained about and we've had questions are the decisions that they make, A, to spend the money or to select players. Is this not accurate?
Yes.
You're telling me that if you have a chance to sign another position, a position of need, that's going to cost $3-4 million, right? You would rather hold on to Josh Rosen after you've already deemed he can't play just because he's cheap? That sounds like a bad business move.
I'm fine trading him, just not to one team.
Yep. Tobin, the Dolphins have determined Rosen is a bad stock. You sell bad stocks.
But not to your enemy.
Who cares? If it's not going to make any money, you get out when you get out.
What if that stock bounces back? All right, let's just say it's your...
Dims the brakes.
In your scenario, here's the scenario, okay?
Yep.
So we invest in some Hawaiian hip stock. Let's say the hip doesn't work out, and Josh Rosen goes to this new buyer, and all of a sudden he just needed a little TLC, and he turns out to be a stud. It just looks unbelievably bad on your part. And if we're going to look at the trajectory of these two franchises, I can't put that up to chance.
Let's identify the problem. The problem is not the decision you made to get rid of him. The problem is in your evaluation of the player.
Two different issues. That's fine. But if somebody
guess what? And if your evaluation is poor, then what are you going to say about them evaluating the talent with all those picks? You see what I mean? You're not always going to be right in your evaluation of players. But they made that determination really quick that he wasn't going to be the quarterback. Did they not?
Yeah, they did. They basically made it on what, 3 weeks decision?
Right.
I mean, I know they had him all year, but they did it on basically three games, and they said, it's Patrick.
Right.
Let me give you some quick headlines before we hit the break. We have Blazers guard CJ McCollum. He says that about 150 NBA players are living paycheck to paycheck due to the postponement of the season. And of course, we're getting that news from Windhorse this week, where the owners want the players to take about a 50% pay cut. Kind of make good on this this missed part of the season that appears to be going down, or if the season has to get canceled. So there's that. We also have news from Deion Sanders, where he said on Twitter his big regret of his career is that he didn't put more time into baseball.
I could see that. He was super athletic. So when he played baseball, he just went out there and was an athlete. I mean, he really didn't work on the craft. He just went out and just attacked it as an athlete.
Yeah, and Deion has made a great living playing football. But I tell you what, if you could play both sports these days, even as boring as it is, and there's very few relevant baseball players. I mean, this money's ridiculous in baseball. It is silly.
But here's the problem. Deion is a superstar.
Yep.
And was a superstar. You can't be a superstar in baseball. You can be a superstar in basketball and football.
Yep.
Deion played football and he was a superstar. You see what I mean? Like, Mike Trout could walk in Sawgrass Mall, how many people would know him?
A dozen. You know, like it wouldn't be.
That's the highest paid baseball player.
It wouldn't be like when Tua gets drafted, he's not going to be able to go to Sawgrass Mall. Let's pick
another team. How about Patrick Mahomes? How about Deion Sanders today if he walked through the Sawgrass Mall? You see what I mean? That's the difference. Deion is a superstar, and he would not play a sport that would not allow him to be a superstar. Needs to be in front of a screen. He needed to be on primetime TV all the time. If he played baseball and put more into baseball, dedicated more time to baseball, he would have been out when he realized, I can't be primetime playing baseball.
You want to know what's pretty bananas? I would say right now, would you say like Christian Yelich is a top five most famous baseball player right now? I feel like he gets a lot of coverage.
Yeah. Yeah, which is crazy because he played he got the MVP.
He won the MVP.
Milwaukee.
Talent-wise, I'm not even saying – I'm talking about like fame. I feel like as far as guys, you know, he does all the charity stuff. He's obviously been a mainstream guy. The whole thing with him during the playoffs where he's doing the chug off with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I feel like Yelich is probably one of the most recognizable players in Major League Baseball right now. And that's crazy because he is not flashy at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Who would be the flashiest? Here's the problem. Baseball, you did it to yourself, right? Because when I think of flashy, I'm thinking of Puig, right? Yep. But guess what Puig gets? Puig gets a bunch of balls thrown at him.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, they hate.
Could you imagine Deion being primetime for the Braves?
Deion, I feel like he could snuff out Brian McCann, no problem.
But I'm just thinking about who you gonna tell Deion that's not the way the game is played?
No. I mean, they did actually. Well, I mean, they technically did tell him that's not the way the game is played. He just didn't give a rat's ass.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. There's no football creates bigger personalities than baseball. Deion, I don't care what Deion did, he was gonna have a big personality, right? He's just that one of those athletes that no matter what he did. But could you imagine a guy like that? Like, I remember there's a couple of guys I remember. People don't realize Brian Jordan played baseball and he played football. I think it's Brian Jordan. He played safety. And he ended up playing baseball longer than he played football because he quit baseball and went and played football. I mean, he quit football and went and played baseball. I think he played right field. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think he played right field for the Braves.
Yes.
And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't out there. I mean, baseball has no personalities like that. When I think of personalities, I'm thinking of like Sammy Sosa. Evidently couldn't speak English, but had a great personality.
Oh, yeah. Right? Well, he couldn't speak English when he didn't want to speak English. Like right. When he's in front of Congress, all of a sudden he couldn't. I mean, he was in every commercial with Mark McGwire. Gets in front of Congress, all of a sudden it went away, and then he became white.
And he became white. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, baseball does that to himself. Because guess what? Mike Trout, when you see him playing baseball, he seems like he has a great personality. I think it's almost baseball's job to get that personality out there.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll do it in their little baseball city they're building in Arizona. We'll take a break. If you guys want to text the show, 67974. We're still taking your text for Dr. Kenny. Dr. Patrick Kenny's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. If you have any questions about COVID-19, tests, treatments, how long this thing's going to last, all that type of stuff, we will try and get all that stuff from Dr. Kenny in the 9 o'clock hour. You can text us 67974. Taking your questions there. We're back with more after this. What I'm out, you guys, Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores are truly steps beyond convenient. Tobin and Leroy here with you. We are going to speak with Dr. Patrick Kenny coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. If you have any questions regarding COVID-19, please give us a, because things are changing by the day. A lot of information getting thrown at people. So Leroy set this on up for everybody. Help you on out. Text us 67974. We're gathering your questions there. You guys can email boxedin@theticketmiami.com as well, or you can go tweet us @Brendan_Tobin, @BigMouthLeroy, @790TheTicket, even @DanDayRadio. Dan will get some questions for you if you guys want to check that out. Go give Dan a follow, @DanDayRadio on Twitter.
How about this? Leroy, you know Tobin cared about all the girls he broke up with and who they were with after him.
I kept a report. I definitely... I'm not gonna say I didn't.
You had your whiteboard.
Yeah, I wanted to see what happened, what the trajectory went to. I feel fine with it though.
If we learned one thing today, it's Tobin keeps dossiers.
Yes, dude, I'm telling you, he takes petty to a whole nother level. Right? He says he's not petty about LeBron anymore, but let a situation come up with LeBron.
Well, I mean, like the only thing I just find ridiculous is like, oh, I miss my dogs. Miss my dogs. I'm just like, all right, well, you didn't miss them when you hightailed it to Cleveland, obviously.
I miss my friends playing when I was in Cleveland and Baltimore.
They got rid of you.
What's the difference?
Oh, it's a big difference. It's a big difference.
No, it's Trust not. Me,
if you Leroy
stop doing semantics about everything. Like, if you're not there, you're not there. For whatever reason, you can still miss them.
You can't count the same of you getting ousted to Minnesota. Here's a perfect example for you, all right? This is a perfect example for you. You go, you have your little fun career in Cleveland. You always run your head up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
Yeah.
All right, they're calling you King Horde. You know, they got your billboard all over the place, and then you stab him in the back, all right? And then you go off to Minnesota. You don't get traded to Minnesota, right? Free agent, you sign with Minnesota. You guys are 15-1. You win the Super Bowl. You win another Super Bowl, and then you're looking, you're like, this Dante Culpepper is getting fat. I need to get the hell out of here. Go find me a younger quarterback. And then all of a sudden the Browns, this is obviously fiction. They actually have their quarterback scenario look like it's figured out. So you're like, guess what? I'm going to hightail it back to Cleveland. I'm going to go win a ring. So all those people who were mad at me for going to Minnesota, I'm going to try and make good on them. And you take everything that you learned from Minnesota. You take all of the intel that you learned from Minnesota and you bring it back to Cleveland. And you do it all for just PR purposes and selling shoes. All right.
What the hell's wrong with you? What the hell? Like, I'm listening. I'm like, Oh, but you're not petty, right?
I'm not. I just don't care. I can tell you right now, as long as they're not playing the Heat, good for the Lakers if they want to go. I mean, especially if they're taking on the Bucks. I'd rather LeBron win a championship this year than Giannis. I want Giannis to have a spectacular failure in the finals if he gets to the finals.
Because you want him to do the same thing LeBron did, but you want him to do it to Milwaukee.
Let's not say it's the same thing LeBron did. Let's just say it's similar.
Really? No, it's the same. Contract up, he leaves and goes to Miami.
It wouldn't be the Heat's fault that Milwaukee couldn't put the right stuff around him. So in that way, LeBron, if he wants to really make up to the Heat what he did, if he really wants to make up to the Heat, go destroy Giannis in the finals and I'll be happy. Now, mind you, if it's Heat versus Lakers in the finals, they're in for a world of hurt. So it's going to be, LeBron, let me tell you something right now. In a world where if the Heat take on the Lakers and the Heat beat the Lakers in the finals, Pat Riley will retire on the spot. On the spot. He's like, see ya. Didn't even need to get that last orca to beat you.
Really?
What? We're just talking. We're just spitballing here, huh? It's quarantine time.
Somebody said, so Wade couldn't miss Miami when he went to Chicago?
Well, that's different. That's different.
Let me break it down for you. And this is how it works in fandom. As long as you are good, you're loyal to my team. But when you suck and you're a bum, we reserve the right to get rid of you. Sound about right? So you're upset, and you can put whatever twist you want on it.
Okay.
You're upset that LeBron could still play. Now, to your point before, where you said, hey, what if Leroy wanted to go because Dante Culpepper had fat cat syndrome. He wanted to go with a younger quarterback to win a championship.
Yep.
Well, how do you know LeBron didn't think like that? Because he actually won a championship.
He actually won a championship.
So with me, you're talking about speculation. LeBron actually left.
Let's say he went somewhere and won a championship. Maybe the results ended up dictating what you think is the right decision. I'm saying the way he went about his decision was the wrong way. That's all I'm saying.
Again, we're back to the old girlfriend. It's not the fact that she left, it's how she left.
Correct. But now I don't care where she left.
If she would have left in a better way, the fact of the matter is she's still gone.
Here's the difference. Okay, let's say this girlfriend was a real slut. All right. We had a great time. We had a great 4-year run. The best four-year marriage. And she goes,
are you speaking from first-hand experience? Because you went out. Let's just say.
All right. And so I gave her the moon and the stars, right? I gave her the best 4 years ever. All right. But, you know, she sees and she leaves. She leaves her husband. You know, he looks like he's balding. He's not going to be anything. And then all of a sudden the guy gets pec implants. You know, he tries to shape it up. He's still an ugly troll, but he's upped it a little bit. And he goes, I really regret that I never tried to make that marriage work out to the fullest. All right. And so she goes back to him. After just a tremendous 4 years with us, you know, she leaves me for him. You know, he's a fake good looking guy. You know, he's got himself some quick moves off the dribble. All right, and he's got himself a stretch four who seems like he's good, but he's got brittle bones. And they end up having a great. She says this is going to be forever. You know, this is going to be forever. This is my guy now. I'm sorry I ever left her for that. For that crazy rendezvous in Miami, all the great sex that we had in Miami. And so she goes
Just made yourself a porn star.
Nope. Hear me out.
Because everything was great. Everything was beautiful.
Right.
And like, okay. All right.
So she goes back to, she says, this is going to be my ever after. I'm going to go back to Cleveland. It's going to be amazing. All right. My original guy. But the truth is, that original guy is still just an ugly dump who put in pec implants. And that's what Cleveland does with Kyrie Irving. All right. Eventually, it was going to fail because Kyrie Irving's a weirdo and Kevin Love has brittle bones. And so eventually, when the getting wasn't good anymore, she still left because she's a slut. And she left for another glamour market where she could make movies with Looney Tunes.
So, and you're not Team Petty.
I'm not Team Petty anymore. Because now, because
but if the goal, if the reason why he left, right, is because he felt that he can win a championship sooner somewhere else.
Great. Okay. Cool. They had a kid. Good for them. But eventually, this is how I would look at it from my standpoint. All right, my relationship. Right. I would look at it and be like, once that divorce happened and she moved on to L.A., I'd be like, I knew it. Is what it
so
is.
So question.
I knew it. So,
if LeBron couldn't play anymore, would you feel the same way? Or you only feel this way because he still was really good?
You mean like if I wouldn't, I would feel what way? Because I don't feel any way now. Because once she moves on to the next person, I'm like, I knew that wasn't going to be happily ever after. See? So I don't care about it anymore.
Oh my goodness. But you do care.
I don't.
Because we're still talking about her.
You brought it up. I'm just trying to let you know. I'm trying to give you the evaluation of my... I'm trying to give you the process.
I brought it up in comparison. And next thing you know, we talk about, you know, the issues that you may or may not have with said person.
Texter writes in, I don't hate a slut. They're good for ecosystems. Sluts are spiders, lizards, frogs. Misunderstood. If you say so. We'll be back with more after this.
My kids love to play in our yard.
Black leather glove, no sequins. Buckles on the jacket, it's a welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on the ticket. Seeing your questions start to come in for Dr. Patrick Kenny, who's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, getting your questions about COVID-19, anything that you guys may have that may come to mind. There are no dumb questions, Leroy, only dumb people.
Yup.
So text those on in. Speaking of that, we're talking about Team Petty, Leroy, you know, last segment, which I am not anymore. But did you see this story from Kevin Garnett with his owner, Glenn Taylor?
No.
So Glenn Taylor, owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, they have beef, all right, going back a while. But some people were wondering if the beef was squashed a little bit because Glenn Taylor had reached out and he had, like, because Kevin Garnett made the Hall of Fame this weekend. So he had reached out, given a little congratulations to him. And so people were wondering, oh, is the hatchet buried? Does it seem like it's in a better place? And so Garnett, apparently, no, it is not. Because Garnett went and he unloaded on dude. I mean, he went full scorched earth on him to let him know we ain't cool. We're not in a good spot. So let's not make it seem like we are. And the dude is like, I'm trying to get the whole the quotes up here for you, because apparently what happened was when Kevin Garnett, you maybe remember he made that last return to Minnesota at the end of his career.
Right.
And that was with the late Flip Saunders, where he brings him on in, and apparently Flip Saunders had talked to Kevin Garnett, about, you know, moving into ownership after his career was done. Garnett revealed that a few years back that he and Flip Saunders had discussed plans of transitioning to a front office or ownership role with the Timberwolves when Garnett was done playing, and when Saunders died of Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2015. Garnett says that Glenn Taylor did not honor any of those plans. He says, Glenn and I had an understanding before Flip died, and when Flip died, that understanding went with Flip. For that, I won't forgive Glenn. I won't forgive him for that. I thought that he was a straight-up person, a straight-up businessman, but when Flip died, everything went with him. He also says that at this point, I don't want any dealings with Glenn Taylor or Taylor Corporation or anything that has to do with him. I love my Timberwolves. I will always love my guys. I will always love the people who F with me there. I'll always have a special place in my heart for Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota in my heart, but I don't do business with snakes. I don't do business with a snake mother effer. I try not to do business with openly snakes or people who are snake-like. Damn.
Well, look, that's one of those situations where, and now the owner will come out and say, no, that wasn't the arrangement, you know, because, you know, that's what they do. It's weird, like, say what you want about it. Like, I've called Kevin Garnett a fake tough guy, even fake tough guys don't come out like that, mm-hmm. you know, so it has to be something there. Has to be, right?
And the T-Wolves also haven't, like, they've never announced plans to, like, retire his jersey, even though he's spent the majority of his career there. He won an MVP there. He's probably easily the best Timberwolf of all time.
How about this? If you think Garnett is being team petty, what do you think the rich guy is going to be?
Oh, I mean.
Let me put it this way. The wealthy guy. As Shaq would say, I'm rich. My owner is wealthy. So you know some of these owners. You think there's going to be a little petty with him getting called out like that?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure, man. But that's one of those things where if you're an owner, like, I'm trying to think of, like, these things. Like, who is the guy who really has a scorched earth relationship with their organization? Like, I don't think in Miami we have anybody like that. Who
Cleveland LeBron?
So you think that Dan Gilbert still won't retire? Like, you think back, like, when it comes down to it, even though Dan Gilbert has one of the most embarrassing moments as far as a owner player breakup, do you think that he's still going to hold it against him when his career's over and not retire his jersey?
Here's what I would think. If it was mended between Miami and D-Wade, I think they could smooth it over, because you have to understand that Dan Gilbert and most owners will take the opportunity to benefit from that night. You know what I mean? The night, the LeBron weekend or whatever, because the Heat have set the tone for what you do with great players now. And I think, you know, from that standpoint, they made up enough to where that could happen. But I tell you this. How about who's the owner of Chicago? What's his name?
Reinsdorf?
Reinsdorf, that's it.
Talk about the Bulls?
Yeah. How about the Bulls and Jordan?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think there's any of that post-career stuff where they really held ill will towards him.
Well, no, because Jordan just went on about his way.
Yeah, I mean, by the time Jordan was a god, by the time he retired from basketball, I mean, it was as bad untouchable right. You can be as an athlete. Right. But I think the difference between Wade's breakups and LeBron's breakups is when Wade did break up. I mean, it was a pretty. It was a pretty heavy feeling of regret, probably from both sides, pretty quickly. You know, like,
no, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
It was one sided.
Really? Okay. So you don't think that either? You don't think either one of those sides? You don't think they both looked at it and says, "Man, I wish it didn't get to this point."
No. That's you know what? Right. That's how you do things when you want to hide your blame in the situation.
Nobody's hiding blame, like, man. I'm telling you that Dwayne Wade didn't like playing in Chicago. He's getting called out. Rondo and the young guys in the locker room.
Hold on.
Rebelling against him. Like, what are you talking about?
I didn't say that he was happy going to Chicago. But what I am saying is that he wasn't mad that he left the Heat in the way that he left. You see what I mean? It was going to be a team. He just made it his hometown, and it didn't work out. But under no circumstances, with how they treated him here, was he coming back. It was going to happen. Uh-huh. Now, it being his hometown, yeah, that spiced it up a little bit, and it didn't work out. But does he regret leaving the Heat? No, I think he might regret I don't even think he regret going back home. I just think he regretted playing with knuckleheads.
I guess. I think like I think we're saying different things, but we both are kind of in the same feeling zone.
You're taking it.
First of all, hold on. Don't say I'm taking the Heat side because I didn't take the Heat side on Dwayne Wade leaving the Heat. I did not. I was against Pat Riley letting Dwayne Wade walk.
But
both of them. But like I mean, I was in the building the night that he came back with the Chicago Bulls. That wasn't a feeling of any of the fans having feeling good about him being there. It was a weird night because he wasn't with the Heat anymore. I mean, they're cheering an opponent. They didn't want, the fans didn't want Dwayne Wade to leave. They were heartbroken that he left.
Yeah, but the Heat did that.
Yeah, Pat Riley did that.
Right. But I'm saying, to say that was there some regret on D Wade's part leaving the Heat, I'm like, no. There was no regret. The regret might have been, and I don't think he regretted going to Chicago. The regret might have been that when you had a choice to go to different teams, that you picked some players who you thought you would meld better with, and it did, and you didn't.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
In the end, he ended up with this storybook ending. LeBron's ending in Cleveland LeBron's ending in Cleveland isn't the same. He had one of the most public backlash, breakups of all time in sports. And then at the end of it, it kind of felt like when LeBron went back to Cleveland, the entire time it was basically effing with Dan Gilbert, was it not? All one-year deals, making sure that he gives J.R. Smith a ton of dough. Tristan, he went there to win for Cleveland and go for his public image, but he was also going there to make Dan Gilbert bleed.
I would say in that situation, the way that Dan Gilbert benefited from it, and there's certain things sometimes that he just eat it. He just ate it. You know what I mean? He was not running his mouth. He was just eating it and got him a championship. So, yeah, but LeBron, you're right in your assessment. Woo! Are you right? He did whatever, however, whenever he wanted, and he got every single person that he wanted paid, got him paid. Every coach that he wanted, he got him. You could say he messed with him.
Yeah, but so the point is, though, at the end of it, do you think that when that breakup finally happened, because there was some hostility with both of them, understandably so, in that second go-around, do you think it's enough so that that Gilbert won't ever retire? Won't retire his jersey?
No, because man.
Because it's only a night of tickets, man. That guy's a gazillionaire.
But business is business. Can you imagine owning the Cleveland Cavaliers and showing any signs of petty when it's time to reward? Or when it's time to celebrate LeBron James, it ain't going to go well for you.
I mean, yeah, but it's already not going. He's not on your team anymore. It's already not going well for them.
Don't matter. When that opportunity comes, because you're in Cleveland and you're in Northeast Ohio, when LeBron retires, the first phone call is going to be LeBron setting up a celebration. And if you do anything other than that, if you show any signs of petty, the only person that's going to look bad is the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's it. I don't care what LeBron does. The people up there love him so much, there is no chance he can do anything wrong when it comes to stuff like that.
I'm with you, man. But Kevin Garnett doesn't have he hasn't accomplished a championship in Minnesota. But it's still a guy who's probably as beloved in that franchise and is their best player.
But that's a different situation, because at no point in time in any of this, with the Heat, with D Wade, D Wade might have he could have had a legitimate gripe because he may have been told some things and those things weren't followed up on, right? And he could have went scorched earth about that, but he didn't. But the situation with Garnett is he almost made it sound like one of the reasons he decided to come back was for the ability to be in the organization and look into ownership. So right. he wanted to finish his career there because of that. And Saunders sold him on that. And then when Coach died and the owner didn't honor that, now you're like, wow, it's the only reason why I really came back here.
Yeah, so and his son is still coaching the team too. So it's not like they don't have the connection with the family either. That's
right.
That really,
that's
if that is the way it went down, that really is a grimy move.
Right, but that's my point. So under no circumstance, even with Dan Gilbert, even with me, even with Pat Riley, the only thing that is even slightly close to that is when they kept talking to D-Wade about making sacrifices. And then D-Wade thought, for whatever reason, he was going to get his, you know, that final contract. They were going to take care of him. I guess we call it the Kobe contract. And he didn't do it. He never came out and said, hey, some things were said to me. I was promised something and it didn't happen. He didn't come out like Kevin Garnett, but it's a different situation.
We'll take your call, text here, 67974. Again, we're going to be joined by Dr. Patrick Kenny in the fourth hour of the show, and then around 9:30. So if you guys want your questions about COVID-19 answered, he's going to be coming on with us. Please text 67974. We have been getting a bunch, but we will gather, try and give the doctor as many questions as we can to get your inquiries answered. So please give us a text, 67974. We're back with more. Get your headlines and had a little bit of a heated beef yesterday on air yesterday, Leroy. We'll get that for you next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.